Turn, if you will, in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, as it was in the day of Noah. The blessed hope of the church is the triumphant return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking for that blessed hope, as it says over in Titus, and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In your Bible, on chapter 17 tonight, verse 22, it talks about the coming of the kingdom. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor with will they say, 'See here or see there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to his disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of these days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, 'Look here or look there.' Do not go after them or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And God, we thank you for the blessed hope, that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we look excitingly to the day when we are with you in that place called heaven. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that if there's one person here that is lost, that they might come and receive you as their Lord and Savior before it's too late. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that strayed away from you, Lord, that they might come back. And Lord, I just pray that your perfect will be done tonight, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. They're looking for that glorious appearing, the triumphal entry of Christ. God has promised that a day is coming when the trumpet shall sound and every eye will see him. God said Jesus would come, and he did. God said Jesus would die, and he did. God said Jesus would rise from the grave on the third day, and he did. And God said Jesus would come, and he will come. He's coming back. The Bible says, as they stood there gazing into heaven on that day that Jesus was caught up into heaven, the angel said, "Just as you've seen him go, he will come again." And this is our hope of every Christian. It is a day of rejoicing. It is a day of victory in our lives, folks. But as for the lost, for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it is a day of weeping. It is a day of mourning. It is a day of sorrow and hiding. Most of all, a day of judgment. Now, Jesus didn't say when he would come, but he said there'll be signs and descriptions of that second coming. A number of signs depend upon, have already happened, upon who are you listening to or who's reading, but I've read a lot of books about the coming of the Lord. There's all kinds of books out there about when he's going to come, all kinds of predictions. I don't predict when he's going to come, but I feel like it will be close. you'll find at least 12 signs about his coming. Over in the Bible, in Luke 21, 9 and 10, you see wars and rumors of wars. Luke 21:11, you'll see the earthquakes. You know, never heard of an earthquake and up in our region till a few years ago, and now it seems to be a commonplace thing to happen in Oklahoma. Talk about famine. We see famine all around the world. We think we're immune to it, but it could happen here. It will happen here. Apostasy from Christianity in Matthew 24, a falling away. Persecution of the Christians, it's going to come. In Luke 21, verse 12, it says, false messiahs, Matthew 24:24, worldwide gospel preaching. Man, Matthew 24:14. Worldwide. We're talking about getting the message out to every language so that they can hear it. Today it is possible. Years ago it wasn't. It didn't seem like it would ever be possible. Now by satellite and everything, the world can literally sit in front of a television and hear the gospel preaching. Bewilderment among the nations in Luke 21:25. An explosion of knowledge. Folks, it's here. There's more knowledge being passed around today. Daniel 12, verse 4, it says that the rise of the Antichrist, Matthew 24:15, signs in the heavens, Luke 21, and an increase of iniquity. And we find that in our day. Everything I believe that the Bible talks about is already happening in our time. Folks, I'm looking for that blessed hope. Now, I'm not sure how all these fit in, but I'm going to leave the details to God, and I'm just going to trust that He is faithful to His Word, I know, and I'm going to trust He's going to work it all out. But I know He's coming, and He warns us He's coming, and His people need to be ready. Someone said this morning, you probably made a lot of people mad. Well, I'd rather make them mad down here than when I get to heaven, not see them there. You know, if you're living for the Lord, it won't bother you. It's just the truth of the Word of God. If you're not living for the Lord, well, maybe it'll wake you up. People say they either love me or hate me, and I you know, that's just the way it is. I love you all, whether you love me or not. We are to prepare, and we are to proclaim the Word of God. I want to be faithful in proclaiming the Word of God, the Bible says, till He comes. Matthew 24:12 says there's a day leading up to the Lord's return that will be characterized by an awful increase of evil. You see, our text points back to the filthiest times in the Old Testament. I was just listening. Someone said the other day they were going back, and I'm going back over and reading the Bible and going through it with a translation and letting someone read it to me and listening on my phone. I found this app to do that, and it's a blessing just to drive down the highway. I'm not texting. I had my earphones in the other day, and I was driving down the highway listening to the Word of God. Had a happy spell, though. You know, man, you can do that, and you can listen to the Word of God and listen to the things that are coming. It says here, as in the days of Noah. Folks, we're in the days of Noah. Increase iniquity. In Noah's day, there was no limits to the sin that the people were doing. In our days, it's just the same. It doesn't shock me anymore to turn on the television and see where a mother has murdered her child. I just see it as one of the parts of the days that we're living in, the last days, or a husband who has murdered his family. It didn't shock me to really hear about on Christmas Day the man shot all of his family members. You see, That's the day that we're living in, folks. And we hear about it every day. In the days of Lot, the whole male population was practicing homosexuality. You go back and read about Lot when the angels came there. Lot said, here, try to get them away from the door. Here's my two daughters. And they said, we don't want your daughters. We want those men. You see? We look at those days and we see how it was. And in the day, it is now. And the Bible says, in that day, Jesus Christ will come. Now, I want you to notice with me, people have not changed. People have not changed. Throughout history, we have been marked by vile, unashamed, horrible wickedness. You see, it's growing worse each day, doesn't it? I said this morning about Christians. And you see, in my day, if you was doing something wrong, what did you do? You tried to hide it. Man, I see Christians putting on Facebook things that, you know, you tried to hide years ago. But nowadays, they're dragging it out into the public and letting the world put it out there, you see. Unashamed of the name, you know, of God. They're dragging God's name through the dirt. I said that Wednesday night. In Genesis, the wicked and evil were so great that God's heart, the Bible says, was grieved at the creation of man. And I think, well, you know, God, you must be just as grieved to see your church participating in things like that. See your children participating in things like that. And, you know, if they're not children of God, they're wearing, like I said this morning, they're wearing his jersey. You see? And there's no difference today from the church, inside the church, than outside in the world. And the Bible says in Noah's day, he purged the earth with water. Sodom and Gomorrah were so filthy that God destroyed them with fire. And in the depths of evil and the human heart, it defiles our imaginations today of what can take place in the human heart. And a lot of it is among people who call themselves Christians. Man, they get on television and they just go wild, you see. Our country is filled with the physical and sexual abuse of children. Man, can you imagine that? Years ago, you didn't hear about that. But as days go closer to the end, we find more physical sexual abuse of children. A lot of it is coming from inside the church. The Catholic Church is rocked by it. And we don't need to accuse the Catholic Church of being the only ones. It's happened in the Baptist. It's happened in the Methodist. It's happened in every denomination, just about. It's happened from deacons on down to the preachers. It's happened in all of our churches. I know a church today that not very far from here, they had a youth director that was abusing children. You see? It happens. It's in our day. We hear of mothers and fathers abusing their child. It's unbelievable to our mind that this can happen. And that's the way it was in Noah's day, and the way it will be when Christ comes back, and that is the way it is today. So he could come at any moment. Now, are you prepared? Are you prepared tonight if he comes at any moment? I was trying to get you to examine your salvation this morning. I just pray, Lord, let everybody leave here that knows for sure, they know for sure that they're saved. Don't let anybody go out of this place without Christ. And then there's unbelief. Peter says that in the last day, scoffers will come, saying, where is this promised Messiah? Man, we have scoffers all over our day, don't we? I can see Noah as he built an ark. We had a man come to our church one time down at First Eastside Baptist Church in Russ that played the part of Noah. And he put on a program, and he was acting out Noah in his life. You may have seen something like that at one time, but he was talking about Noah, and they would holler and holler crazy at things that Noah, that he was crazy for building an ark. Where was the rain? What are you talking about? What are you doing, old crazy guy? Building, you know, a boat in the middle of nowhere. You see, we have scoffers today that mock television preachers. They run Christianity down. They run the church down. One of the biggest I know of is Jay Leno. You see, they just run the churches down. And I can hear the jokes and the laughter every time someone falls. And the world laughs at our Christians today. The world laughs at our churches today. And they say we're fools for worshiping a God that we cannot see. They say we're fools for worshiping a God that would let his Christian people die. They never understand that we all die. And the Bible says because of sin, we die. You see, it wasn't God who brought it on us. We chose it ourselves when we rebelled against God, you see. I think of Adam in the Garden of Eden when God put him there before he sinned. It was a beautiful place before it became marred. And he chose to disobey God. And the Bible says because of Adam, all have sinned. All of us fall short of that glory of God. Oh, why do you Christians go to church on Sunday? Waste your whole day. Why do you want to give your money to church? Talk about the return of Jesus Christ as a place and a place called heaven, and you're laughed at by unbelief. I've done a lot of funerals of unbelievers, and when I talk about heaven and going there, never will forget one woman came by. I'd preached. They were lost without Christ. The fellow was lost without Christ, and I simply gave the plan of salvation and told them how they could go to heaven. She came by and said, "You're the rudest person I ever know." And all I did was preach Jesus, but you know, that's her opinion. And I felt like saying, "Well, you're one of those lost ones, I know. But I forgive you anyhow." You know, Vance Havner said when he looked at a person, he says, that doesn't believe in the signs of the Lord's coming, you're looking at the sign right there. For the Bible says, in the day that people think not, he will come. Now, people do not believe today. They have an unbelief in their life. And it's spread across all the nation and all the churches. Not only is unbelief in the Bible, it's a sin of apathy that will take place. The Bible says here, what did they do? They ate, they drank, they married, they bought, they sold, they planted their vineyards, they built right up to the time the Bible says the rain started falling. And then what happened? They ran to knock on the door to try to get in, but it was what? Too late. For God shut the door. I hear people all the time say, "Preacher, you know, I'm going to party down today because when he comes, I won't be able to do that no more." Well, they're right. It's not going to be no party in hell. It's going to be a lot of people crying out. You see, most people are not bad people. They're just going on with life like they've got all eternity. You see, they're just busy. They're just preoccupied, never thinking about their relationship with God. And we have people here, not tonight. I don't get too discouraged. I know the people. We got a good crowd here tonight. We've got a lot of kids over there, and they're learning the Word of God. We'll have some of them come to know Jesus Christ. Some of them go up in our church. So we know that the Lord is working through our church. We see people being saved. But we have members that ought to be here that are not here, that ought to be working for the kingdom of God, listening to his word, growing together. And I just imagine a lot of them are home tonight watching the game on television. You see, they're just too preoccupied with the things to come And we need to look at our lives and say, Lord, have we become too occupied to put you first in our life? Some stay home on Sunday after all God's blessed them with, you know. But most don't oppose Christianity. They just kind of ignore Christianity. They don't oppose the Word of God. They just kind of ignore the Word of God. They're not going to say anything bad about the Word of God. They just don't want to fool with the Word of God. The Bible says, as it was in the day of Noah, so it is now, and people have not changed. There's still that unbelief. There's still that apathy. But praise God, the plan of salvation has not changed either. Noah, the Bible says, worked till that day, and he built the ark just by faith as God had laid it out for him. And the Bible says when the day came, he got the people inside. He brought his family inside the ark. Now that was simple, wasn't it? Just to believe and walk inside the ark. You see, salvation is a simple plan. Some people say, well, that's so simple, I just don't see how it can work. Well, God didn't make it hard, folks. God wants everybody to come trust him as Lord and Savior. But a lot of people don't know how to get in the boat. God says, no, I want you to get into the boat. Now, people, you don't have to be a seminary degree to learn how to get in a boat, do you? How do you get in a boat? You just simply step in by faith. You trust that boat to hold you up, don't you? You don't have to do anything, do you? Just get in there and sit. That boat's going to hold you up. Well, let me tell you something. Salvation is the same way. Salvation is by faith, the Bible says, not of works. Lord knows we'd boast if it was works. We'd be telling everybody how we got into heaven, how good we are. But the Bible says salvation is by faith, simply receiving what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross. His plan is simple. The plan of salvation is so simple, a lot of people miss it. A lot of people think they have to be wise and know everything in the Bible before they can believe it. We're to say, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. That's simple, isn't it? I realize that Jesus Christ is God. He's God, and he's also man. That may be a little more difficult for some people to believe. That he was God. He had to be God to come live a sinless life. But he had to be human also to know the sufferings and the pain and know us and how we are. So he said, he's God and man. And then say, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize Jesus Christ died for me, and I believe that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. And then we simply commit our life to him. You see, I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he's coming. Did I ever see Jesus? No, I didn't. But I heard his words. They spoke to my heart. And I realized I was a sinner. And I believe by faith. I told someone in Sunday school this morning, we talked about our favorite verses. My favorite verse of all scripture is Hebrews 11:1. For by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, folks. I'm trusting God. I'm trusting God's word. I believe he has cleansed me by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I will spend eternity in the place called heaven. Not because of who I am, or not because of anything I've done, but all because of Jesus Christ. And that's what you have to believe. The Bible says, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes by me. The plan is simple. He's the way. You've got to come by him. The way of salvation is kind of strange, isn't it? Think about it. God says, Noah, I want you to build an ark. Now, Noah probably thought, Lord, why don't you just let everybody drop dead with a heart attack? It'd be a whole lot easier. You ever thought about that? If you're going to leave me and my children, why don't everybody else just drop dead? Beats living in a smelly boat with a bunch of animals, you see, for 40 days. But that was God's plan, wasn't it? That was God's plan. And the Bible says when the death angel came over Egypt, he said, I want everyone who has faith in me come in under the blood. And they put blood on the doorpost. That's kind of strange, isn't it? But that's God's plan. That's God's way. And if blood wasn't put on that doorpost, the Bible says everyone in that house, firstborn, died. And the Bible says Jesus came and shed his blood. And folks, if we don't believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, if we don't believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though it might be strange, we'll die lost. It's the same story today. God tells us to trust put our faith in our Lord over 2,000 years ago, who died and rose again. And folks, you may think, well, preacher, that's kind of strange. Isn't there a better way to go to heaven? There is no other way. People will come up with some other kind of sensible plan, and Lord, I'll be good, and Lord, when I die, you know, I could add it all up and maybe I can get to heaven. That's not God's plan, folks. It sounds good, but we can't be good, can we? Have you ever tried to? Well, I know you have. You've tried to be good and you just can't do it. You've tried to be nice and you can't just be nice all the time, can you? Every once in a while, someone tell me, said, preacher, you know, I just talked to Carol this morning. I said, Carol, you're always smiling. She said, you ask Jim. We don't always smile, do we? We have our tough times. We have our hard times. You see, I'm not perfect. You ask my wife, she'll tell you. Man, I mess up good every day. But it's God's way of salvation, folks. God says faith in his Son by the bloodshed on the cross, the way of salvation. All we have to do is get in the boat, get under the blood, accept him as our Lord and Savior, and we can be saved. Not only the way of salvation is simple, the way of salvation, it says, is secure. The ark was designed by God. Plan of salvation is designed by God. You know, if we tried to build a boat today that would float, I think it'd probably be like the Titanic. You know, that Titanic, they said it was unsinkable. But what they didn't know, a lot of people died. Folks, we think we've got a plan that's just as good, and a lot of people are afraid that they'll not be able to, well, I don't know if I can hold out. Friends, is you not holding out? It's God holding on to you. I don't have to hold out. I just have to live for God, and he's going to help me. You see, I didn't do anything to get saved. The waves of sin, the waves of sorrow, the waves all come. But praise God, I'm not trusting in myself. I'm trusting in God. Jesus is in us, living here in our heart when we invite him to come in. Folks, someone said this morning that we ought to know, let me just say it this way, we ought to know if we're saved. We should know. I think we should know. You may not know the day. I used to be a little bit nervous about the preacher when he'd say, you need to know that day and the time and the hour that you trusted Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't. Be honest with you, I don't know if it was morning or night. I know where I was, and I know how I felt. And I don't go by feelings, but I knew that the moment I trusted Christ, I had to take that step of faith. And the moment I took that step of faith, step out of that pew, God saved me right then. You see, it's that step of faith. And I know that. I know where I was sitting. I know the moment. I don't know the exact day. I'm going to call it a Friday. That seemed like a good day. I was baptized May 5th, 1975, so I know it was in 1975. You see, Jesus says, I will come in. God shut the ark's door. It wasn't Noah. It was God shut the door. Nothing could enter in that ark that God didn't want in there. You see, salvation is Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ. Now, we may be afraid that we're down in Egypt land tonight, but God wants you to come in to Canaan land. He wants you to come in under the salvation of the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, nothing shall snatch you from my Father's hand. Now, a lot of people believe that Baptists believe once saved, always saved. I do. I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. The trouble is a lot of Baptists are not saved to start with. Amen. They've come down just to have their name on the roll. They've come down to please mama or papa. And they've never really had an experience or relationship with God. I don't know why you came. I always try to ask a young person or adult or whatever, why did you come down? If they tell me, well, you know, mama said I needed to come, they haven't been saved. You don't come because mama told you. You come because the Holy Spirit tells you you need to get saved. And when the Holy Spirit saves you, then, man, you're born again. You have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you have a relationship with Him, He says, I've saved you. I come into your heart. Nothing's going to separate you from the love of God. He's not going to ever leave you. He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. There may be times that we go downhill. There may be times we might drift, but God will always bring us back. But what about, preacher, those people that don't ever come back? They never were saved. They never were saved. They went out from us because they weren't of us. The punishment has not changed. The people in Noah's day and Lot's day didn't believe. It rained for 40 years upon the earth. Fire fell from heaven. Go back and read that passage of scripture. Lot's wife, she so loved the world that she was there. She had to look back for one last glance, knowing that God was going to turn her into a pillar of salt. And she did. You see, God will punish those who fail to trust Him. He's going to punish us. Everlasting destruction. Everlasting separation from the presence of God. You see, that would be hell in itself, wouldn't it? Everlasting separation from a God who loves us. How would you like to be in prison tonight? Amongst the most hardened criminals there? Have you ever thought about that? I think about that sometimes. I said, man, I could never go to jail. They'd throw me in that jail amongst all them people, and I'd just be preaching the gospel to them, and they'd probably kill me. But how would you like to be in a cell, handcuffed to, I don't know, who? Oh, Manson. Oh, that's the devil himself, boy. Woo! Makes my skin crawl just to hear his name. But how would you like to be all eternity with that dude? You will be if you die and go to hell. You'll be lost. Separation from God where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing teeth. I don't know if you'll know Him or be with Him, but you'll be in that separation from God. And folks, that's hell itself. Bible says God sent the flood to destroy the evil. He sent His Son to save. Which one do you want tonight? He will send fire one day, destroy this old world. The Bible says over in Genesis, He'll create a new heaven and a new earth. I love that song Doc sang this morning, Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem coming down, folks. That's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a triumphal day. Just let me ask you one more time before I close. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our day. Will you be covered by his blood tonight? Will you be safe and secure tonight? You can be. And if you're not living a committed life to Christ tonight, and you're a Christian, make that commitment. God, let me live committed to you day after day. My wife, her favorite verse of scripture is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the life I live by faith in the Son of God. I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. Folks, it's a daily being crucified. You walk by daily being crucified. Every day is the day that we have to say, Lord, I'm crucified with you today. Nevertheless, the life I live, you see, live for Jesus Christ on a daily basis. That takes some doing, don't it? Let me ask you another question. This comes to mind while we're always critical of that rich young ruler. He'd come in and say, I'll build more barns and everything. I'll eat, drink, be merry. And Jesus said, thou fool. You see? We're always kind of critical of that. Well, if I was him, I'd have trusted Christ. Jesus Christ said to the rich young ruler, okay, he said, how can I get into the kingdom of heaven? He said, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor. He said, I can't do that. What if God tells you tonight, I want you to sell everything you got and start living for me? Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? I want you to get rid of everything you got and go overseas to be a missionary. Are you willing to do that? That's what Jesus calls us to. He says, follow me. Levi, follow me. Tax collector, rich, making money. But God said, let it all go, follow me. And he did. And we say, well, all we have to do is become a Christian. No, it's more than that. It's committing our life to him, following him. Now, he may not call you to get rid of everything you've got, but we need to hold all things loosely. You see? All things loosely to where at any time, we're ready, God, like the reserves in our armed services. They stand on guard. Any time the commander-in-chief calls us, we'll go to war. Our commander-in-chief is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to be good soldiers in his army that at any moment, he said, okay, I want you to do this. We can say, here I am, Lord, I'll go. Are you willing to do that? He may not, but you ought to be willing to follow him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your blessings. We thank you for the word of God. Just open our eyes and let us see how to really surrender our lives to follow you. And if we're willing to do that. And Lord, I just pray that we'll grow in our knowledge and grow in our commitment here at this church to reach others for Jesus Christ. For it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.